I wanted to share today about schedules. And I'm reminded of schedules because I'm someone who doesn't like schedules. It's kind of the in that kind of radical aspect of me, I think, previously. More so than now. Anything that's too structured or too scheduled feels like institutionalized, and the institution's really bad kind of thing, and I don't want to be controlled, and I think a lot of us have it, especially folks I think who come out of spaces of marginalization. We've been so controlled by a society telling us what we can and cannot do. That I think scheduling kind of is this continuation of that, and so I think this is part of my resistance to schedules. And when I first went to the monastery, even for visiting, I really when I saw there's always like a schedule written on the board. Whichever monastery was in our tradition. And I always thought, wow, why does it have to be so scheduled? And then when I went to live at the monastery in Plum Village, I remember the first month I really resisted it. I was always late. And I think that was part of my not wanting to step into the schedule. This idea that schedules, again, this continuation of trying to control me. But then, as I continued to see more clearly, what the scheduling allowed was not having to think and control me having to think about. What am I going to do? When am I going to sit? When am I going to practice walking meditation? When am I going to do this? So the whole idea of the schedule in the monastery is set up so that in a way, and actually Ajahn Chah talks about this. Ajahn Chah is a Thai monk, a very famous Thai monk. Who said that the more we think about, am I going to sit today? When am I going to sit? When are the, make sure I get the right conditions to sit. Oh, if I don't have the right conditions, I can't sit. And he said that it's that kind of mind that always is like trying to figure out what to do. In our path of liberation, that gets us, that stops us actually from actually doing it. And so he would say that don't think it, just go and sit. Don't start to like dissect it, like, oh, there's noise outside. Maybe I'll sit later. Well, I only have 15 minutes now, so maybe I'll sit when I have more time. So his teaching was always. You just go ahead and sit. So in the monastery, the scheduling really kind of takes that whole responsibility of overthinking and dissecting it off of you. And it lets you just move, flow into a schedule. So you get up in the morning and you sit. And then you eat or you do exercise and then you eat. So there's this time allotted. There's work and then there's eating again, and then there's rest, and then there's maybe some study or some more work, and then there's sit and like this, and it almost starts to allow you to free yourself to be in practice. So I'm reminded of this because I was just in Korea. I just returned on Wednesday. And I went to a monastery, a Korean monastery there in the Joinin order. It's the largest Korean Buddhist order. And it was a huge monastery, kind of scary, so big. It's a huge campus. There's some hermitages all around, and people go there for the whole day to hike around. It takes about 3 hours or something to hike around the whole periphery of the monastery. It's called Tongdosa. Tongdosa, yeah. And they have a schedule. I mean, every monastery has a schedule, but this one had a pretty good schedule of a sit at 4:30 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. And I had the same thing. You know, it's like interesting when we meet things that tell us what to do and where to be at a certain time, how those things kind of come up again. I'm like, why do you gotta sit so early? Like, what happened to 6 a.m.? You know, what about my schedule? Right, so here's me in Korea in this monastery. I'm like, what about me? It's all about me. And watching the mind again, right? Like, and it made me come back to the, and it's interesting, right? Like 20 years later, it's still there, right? I'm still, you know, resisting the schedule of places that are set up to help us find a pace of practice that supports us in this path of liberation. And the schedules are set up for those communities, for these communities that are intentionally practiced. But what I learned actually, and even more so after coming back, was because after a few days I got into it, right? It was like, oh yeah, you know, okay. Then back in the world, then I had to come back to my own schedule again. And it made me really understand more that, especially in the world, outside of a setting that is intentionally set up for practice, we have to schedule our liberation. It's not going to happen if we don't schedule it. Because of the same thing, because of the same wisdom of, you know, thousands of years of this kind of practice, that if we as lay people in the world are going to be able to find that path in a systematic and consistent way, we're going to have to schedule it into our lives, just like we schedule that important meeting, that whatever the work schedule is, we're going to have to figure out, like, if we really want this path, we're going to have to figure out how to take some of those wisdom teachings and bring it into this world in a way that really fits our schedule. Right. So, yeah, we may have 9 to 5, 8 to 4, 12 to 8, you know, overnight shifts. And yet, how is it that we can schedule our world so that we bring practice to the center? So, this awakening that we're on, this path that we're on, what I realized when I was there was like, you know what? This is a scheduled thing. This is not going to just happen. I mean, the reason all these places, these monasteries, and what was really intriguing and really actually very sacred about this particular monastery was it was a really old monastery. It was a historic place, so they had relics of the Buddha, like the actual Buddha, right? This was one of the monasteries that had relics of the Buddha enshrined in a pagoda that you can go and prostrate to, and you can like really be there in the presence of that energy. And they had buildings that were hundreds of years old, or 1,000 year old, buildings that had, some had been destroyed in the Japanese war, some had been rebuilt. But it's a historic site also in UNESCO for holding the Korean, the history of Korean Buddhism. And so these places, you know, they've been doing this stuff for a while. A little minute, right? And how do we learn? How do we take that wisdom, that sacred wisdom on that path that have been going on for more than 2,500 years in this Buddhist thing we call the teachings of this guy, Buddha, that has maintained itself. And now it's in the West where there's so many things, right? So the monasteries are set up so we can go and like relieve ourselves of all the distractions for a while. But I don't think it's just that. I think it's for us lay people to also pick up some of that wisdom and bring it into our everyday lives. And I think a schedule is one of those things. So when we get up in the morning, right? How do we schedule our awakening, right? Because that's what this practice is. We get used to saying practice, practice. You know, it's kind of practice now is like, you want to wash your mat out when you say the word practice. You know, it's like kind of the teaching where the Buddha was like, person who says the word Buddha, you want to like go wash your mat out, because we get used to using it and it takes out the meaning of it. And I think sometimes practice is becoming like this. So I'm using this word awakening because I think this idea of awakening happening in any moment, it's true. I mean, this is our tradition. We talk about in any moment. And then we can schedule the conditions to help us have those moments more often, right? And what's that scheduling? Basically, we're scheduling our awakening. We're putting in place the conditions, the sufficient, skillful conditions to help us stay in practice. And we resist it, right? Like I'm sharing with my resistance, right? Like after these years of practice, you know, I show up in across the globe in another place and still resisting the schedule, right? Like my initial thing was like, and then, you know, like open up into it and like, yeah, you know, Maricela, just get up. and then it, you know, it passes, but you know, that's me and my karma, right? And I think the insight I got from all that was there's wisdom here around why there's a schedule. And how do we apply that wisdom in our everyday life? And so am I going to schedule my awakening, or am I going to pretend that in a world that's so busy and is bombards us and distracts us with every single thing, right? Like we're so distracted because we live in a world that is just so fast paced. How are we going to make sure that we stay on this path of awakening? Well, we just schedule it. So it's kind of simple. It's like we feel it's important enough, and so we schedule it. And so what does that mean? Well, it means like whatever it is that you really want to do to continue this path of opening up and insight and understanding and kindness, then we have to schedule the practices that help those things happen more often. So that means whatever your practice, and it doesn't even have to be sitting meditation, right? It's like whatever it is, chant, singing, dancing, you know, yoga, tai chi, biking, whatever it is, listening to music, cooking, walking, tea meditation. Yeah, whatever it is that starts to make you slow down and pause. Like, how can we begin to schedule those things into our lives more intentionally? Just like how we get up in the morning and brush our teeth. This is how we need to schedule this path of awakening. So that it brings, you know, it's like tilling the soil so that those moments of aha, that remembering in the middle of the day, like it comes more naturally, you know. It just shows up and it's like, ah. So I have this practice of sending metta, you know, like all of a sudden I'm, you know, wherever I'm at, can I start to send metta to myself and then to the person next to me? And then like that. So what I notice is when I don't take the time to do my regular routine in the morning, meaning it's like sitting and then prostrating and then yoga. So if I cut that short, right, or take any one of those pieces out, the amount of times that I remember to send metta during the day, sometimes it won't even happen. I won't even remember. But when I stay in my schedule, then there's at least two moments in the day of whatever I'm doing, as busy as I am, I remember. And it can be anything, right? In the middle of a meeting on Zoom. And then all of a sudden I remember, oh yeah, send metta. And then I just send metta to like the person on the Zoom, the person in the room, you know, and outward, you know, like in the building I'm in, and then in the street, in the city, like that. Maybe it takes 30 seconds or 60 seconds. And then I continue on with whatever I'm doing. But I notice that I remember to do that more often if I prepare, if I stay in my schedule. If I'm like, because I was traveling, you know, and the like time change, you know, like everything was off. I didn't remember until like I was on a bus in Seoul, which is a very busy city. And honestly, busier than New York City. Way too busy for Maricela. But, you know, it was an exploration. But it was like maybe not till the, I'd say the eighth day I was there. And I'm in this bus in Seoul, Korea, you know, it's moving. And then I remembered, oh yeah, you haven't been doing your metta practice. And then I did it. And because there was just too many things, you know, the schedule was off and, you know, adapting to daylight saving time and everything's moving so quick. There's a lot of stuff, you know, traveling, going off to the monastery. I mean, in the monastery, it's fine, right? Because you have the conditions so that there's more continuous practice. So it supports you. But when in the world, outside of that space that kind of holds that intention, so everything is kind of moving in that intention, right? That's when it's harder to continuously try to practice. And when things get, and this is what I learned in this trip to Korea, is moving outside of the regular routine that we set up, the schedules that we have, it really shifts how we are able to remember. Now, if I was enlightened, maybe it wouldn't be an issue. I'd just be like, you know, floating metta 24/7. But I'm not enlightened, and therefore I have to keep practicing. And practice is remembering, right? Because it's really actually very simple, this path, right? It's like we want this kind of liberation. We want this insight. We know there's suffering in this world. We know that if we can notice, we can choose how we deal with it. So there's always going to be stuff coming up. You know, this is the nature of this world. It's, you know, the three characteristics of everything, right? Everything changes. It's impermanent, right? Everything is conditioned, meaning it's made up of something else. Something I did yesterday makes up what happens today. So everything there's no permanence self to anything, to me, to you. And so this causes pain and suffering because we forget these things and we cling to what's in front of us, especially the things that make us happy. But we also cling to the things that hurt us and bring us pain. But when we remember, take a breath and everything shifts. Take another breath and we start to remember, oh yeah, take another breath. We start to have ease. So it's not that the breath stops the difficulty. The breath actually recenters us. So we take a choice in how we're going to engage with what's in front of us. So it's pretty revolutionary, this thing, this breath, right? It's like we're in the middle of all this turmoil. So there's a lot of frustrating at the monastery I was at. You know, there's like 25 minutes of continuous prostrating, and it's not like stop and hold it. It's like up and down, right? So I think there was one evening prostrating, about 15 minutes in, I'm like, man, like, is this gonna stop? Like, I'm looking at the clock that's on the altar. I'm sweating. And then all of a sudden I took a breath, you know, and this is prostrating, right? And then I remembered what I think about when I prostrate in the mornings and night. And as soon as I did that, everything shifted. It was amazing. It was so amazing because I was tired and I was hot and sweaty. And as soon as I shifted my thought, I got all this energy. And then I was going faster than everybody. I was like, whoa. It was like, what happened? Like Marcel's like little bionic prostrate person now. The energy just shifted. Nothing else happened. The only thing that happened was I remembered to breathe. And then I brought my mind to a particular intention. And that refocusing resulted in my energy shifting and my whole body changed. The energy in my body, all of a sudden I had energies. I didn't eat chocolate or, you know, like take any substance to become energetic in that moment. It was just my mind. There was nothing else. It just shifted. Because I remember to take a breath and come back to the present. So it's little things like that, right? It's little things that keep bringing us back to our practice, to what do we want to do and be in that moment. And if we create the conditions, and part of those conditions is this regular scheduled practice, so that it holds everything. And in the moment of busyness, in the moment of like as a busy bus in Seoul, I could remember, oh, my practice is to send metta. And then I can send metta to everybody on that bus and then on the street and everywhere. But it also made me remember that I hadn't done that practice outside of the monastery for these days. And because it was all too busy, my schedule was off. So I share all this because I realize again how important scheduling our awakening is. We're gonna creep along and remember when it's convenient and when things are slow, because the world is just too busy. I mean, really, it's just, there's just too much stuff going on in this world. And so if we really want to keep this path of awakening alive and growing and evolving into the most beautiful way we can be, it feels like we want to really be intentional about scheduling this. We want to schedule the conditions that are more likely to remind us, to bring us into those moments of presence, to bring us into the moments of, oh yeah, this is how I want to be. Oh, I want to practice. I want to remember the first mindfulness training here. Oh, I want to remember the second one here and watch my speech. Or the third or the fourth, whichever one, right? And that remembering is when we come, it's how we have created the whole thing, the whole kind of the way that the soil, it's like tilling the soil. Yeah. So the sitting, the walking, the prostrating, the yoga, the whatever that thing is that brings you to stillness, the pause that brings you back to breath, whatever that is for you, schedule it. Put it in that iPhone, that Samsung. Write it down if you use the paper one. Just put it in there. Just schedule it just like you schedule the meeting. And that could be at 1 p.m. every day, I'm going to walk slowly for a minute, just a minute, 2 minutes, right? Or in the morning, you know, I'm going to walk and follow my breath for 1 minute every morning, or I'm going to sit for 20 minutes every morning, or I'm going to sit for 15 minutes, whatever it is, I'm going to make sure I do 10 minutes of stretching, and I'm going to follow my breath when I do it. Whatever is going to bring us back, bring us back. Yeah. So I think that's all I have to share. Thank you for listening. I'll invite the bell for us to breathe together.